Breakfast was served at 03:30 on April 1st. We received oranges, cereal, steak, potatoes, boiled eggs, and coffee. I ate heartily of as much as I could and then stuffed a couple of eggs in my knapsack. Everything was checked and rechecked, ready to go. It had been decided that I should take my entire FO team in Norton's Amphtrak. He wanted artillery support right on hand. We watched for the dawn, cruising in the roll of a quiet sea. All crews were at general quarters. I stood on deck in the darkness. Suddenly, there was a far-off rattle of automatic fire, a burst of light off our starboard bow, and a plane aflame crashed into the water half a mile away. At 05:30, the drivers went below to warm the motors of the amps. At 06:00, as someone on deck sang, "Oh, what a beautiful morning," we donned our gear and filed down the hatches to the tank deck, ducking and crawling from the top of one amp to the next. I brought my team into Norton's amp, but by the time he had arrived, it was evident that conditions would be too crowded. He recommended a split, and I left him three wiremen while taking my scout Gans and two radio men into another amp, of which I assumed command. Several stretcher bearers had been added, making this vehicle so crowded we could scarcely turn around. At 06:30, the ramp doors opened, and the winch let down the ramp. One after another, the armored amps clattered into the water, followed by the personnel carriers. Each group cheered as they left the bow. As we splashed into the sea, I was aware at first of only the brilliant sunlight and the rolling waves, and of the deafening roar of big guns. In the heavens were planes and more planes, squadron after squadron of fighter bombers wheeling about on a great circular course. A Liberator flew low all over the place, evidently having something to do with direction of the landing activities. When I looked about me at the seascape, I felt as if this were a harbor. LSTs were everywhere, and farther out were transports coming into position, but the sight that gave a thrill, that really made it a great picture, was in toward shore, where a line of battleships and heavy cruisers and destroyers, poured salvo after salvo at the enemy shore. We couldn't see the coast. It was completely beclouded by smoke. We were putt-putting in a circle now, men perched on the high sides of the amps waving at men in the other craft. We saw the armored amps form a line and head for the line of departure. Then the first wave of personnel carriers, and then ours. More than 20 other waves would follow us that day. I could spot no enemy shells landing anywhere among our ships. And now, as we begin to move forward, we could see the squadrons of fighter bombers dive for the beach and release their eggs. New clouds of dust and smoke rose from the shoreline. Using glasses, I could discern the outlines of fields and hills through the haze. By now, the armored amps were 600 yards in front of us, and we were cruising along slowly. Directly in front of us loomed the gigantic USS Idaho. We used her as a shield from shore until we came right under her port side, amidships, and skirted around her fantail, where her aftergun battery crews cheered us with shouts of, "Good luck, and give the bastards hell, Marines!" We moved abreast amidships, on the starboard side, just under a battery of 14-inch guns. As we headed for shore again, this battery let go with a salvo whose blast rocked us. In the muzzle's flashes, I could see the instant black silhouettes of shells. Now we were committed, with 2,000 yards to go. Beach Blue Number 1 was in front of us, being given its last strafing by our fighter planes. I could now see the coast clearly and was amazed by the steep slope of the hillside, for those hachure lines on the map had seemed relatively far apart. Through glasses, I could see the seawall and the entrances of several tombs. I ordered the men down from the sides of the amph and told them to stay low. It was at this exciting moment that I saw one of them hunched up, reading a comic magazine. As we passed a rocket ship, now firing away with its automatic weapons from 600 yards out, I saw the armored amps blazing away with their 75s and 20s on the last 200 yards of their dash for the beach. There appeared to be nothing coming our way, but I put my head below the armor as we opened full throttle for that last 600 yards. There was no chatter now. Each man's face was tight, teeth set. Even above the roar of the amp's motors, we began to hear the crackle of small arms from the beach.